That new order is Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. Good morning, everybody. It's me, Tony Martin, and Campbell's here. I'm assuming everyone has just got capes on going to work.
It's safe to assume that if you are Patsy, who's written into our MySpace and said, am I the only one taking part in Capel? And then he's taking a picture of himself in, well, Patsy, come on, it's low res, the photography, and it's clear that you're just standing in a field with a jacket that he's put around his... his shoulders, oh, Santorini style.
Italian film director style.
Yeah. So we like that.
They pointed out. Okay.
So well done, sir. You are leading the show at the moment, Patsy. That iPad is yours, bro. You are the only entrant.
That's right. We are providing prizes. I'm sure people think we're making this up.
Right.
An iMac. And not one that's been donated by Apple Computers. One we've gone out and bought ourselves.
We've bought it ourselves, and we've loaded some stuff on there.
Have we?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing low-res about the...
High-res, high-depth,
high-fashion.
And the best photo we get of someone wearing a cape in an ordinary situation every day.
How are they meant to send it in?
I don't know. The internet, somehow.
They're going to email it. Or just hit us up on the MySpace, y'all, and leave your picture there, because Rich and Tony check it most hours of the day.
Oh, yeah. It's a juicy source of material, that face. And we have 250 limited edition.
Oh.
Get this April
piece.
Good. Look at that.
That's pretty good news.
Both of the 250 runners-up, everyone gets a Capel T-shirt.
That's great.
With the catchphrase, are you capable on the front?
But hang on a second, have we deducted from the 250, have we deducted, like, obviously, you know, us?
The 247 runners-up will be getting one of these.
Cecilia.
It has a cape printed on the back.
It does.
We couldn't afford to have an actual cape sewn on there.
No. That's not our style.
Fast is our style.
So, you know, and also, if we don't get rid of them, Rich, what will happen?
As we discover the people in the promotional vehicles, we'll go through and donate it all to the homeless people of Australia.
So there you go. Won't they look spiffy?
Yeah. When did he, 247 homeless runners up?
Yep.
Looking good.
No, what? Something's going to happen. It's a whole month. I mean, some
we've got to think, you know what we need? Because, you know, we need, like, radio promo things that go, like, you know, like,
you capable, blah, 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 blah.
We'll get some of that.
Sound effect. We'll do that. There'll be some pop cut through and sizzle on the way. But you're talking about radio. Hey, I love radio from around the world. And I love collecting weird clips from late night radio.
Your go? That is your go?
I was listening to, this was on the internet. This is a show from the United States. And someone from this program is mentioned. And I think you may have had something to do with what we're about to play as well.
Oh, yeah.
You might have tried to sabotage.
Makes sense.
Have a listen to this clip.
Okay, that was Pat Benatar reminding us all that love is, was, and always will be a battlefield. And it's WBK 445 in the morning, the early hours of the morning, to be precise. I'm Bob. We'll be back. We'll be back in the early hours of the morning, is the somewhat convoluted name of this program. And I'm telling you, we don't get many calls on this old show, but when we do, it's someone special. It's someone from the world of broadcasting tonight. His name is Richard Marsland. He's from down under Australia. So he's the host of something. Can you get this? We'll meet him next. We'll be back with Bob Williams. They call him the talented Mr. Marsland, and we're going to meet him. But I'm telling you, we're having a little problem patching him through. Don't worry. It's all part of the fun in the madhouse here. Oh, yeah. Okay. Keep it down, guys. I'm telling you, this Marsland cat, he's faxed me through a little CV. Well, it says he's done some radio bit of writing for the newspaper, something called Dancing with the Stars. He was the creator. Some of this has been added by somebody else in pencil. I can see that. I'm the victim of a little April Fool's Day joke. But, oh my God, he's piloting a new show. It's called Express Your Anal Glands. I can't tell if that's for real. But there's some good stuff here. He's recorded a dance single called teabagging is my fascination. He's quite some high step, but this Mr. Muslin, he's got a new dance, which he's introduced. It's called I'm a Girl. I don't know. He's in love with Matthew McConaughey. He's watched Failure to Launch over 700 times. Okay, we're going to have to come back to you on this one. We get some pretty unusual people calling at this time of the night. Gavin Wood is a respected broadcaster from down under, and he's often just calling up to say, you'll bar up. I have no idea what he's talking about, but he's a rootin' tootin' kind of guy, as is Richard Marsland. We'll be meeting him next. Stick around with Mr. Mister. I think you know how to do the thing today.
You created Dancing with the Stars, did you? You and Daryl in the hot tub, kicking around ideas.
Teabagging is my fascination. Yeah. The 12-inch of that, appropriately, will be coming out very soon.
Awful. Who's the guy getting beaten to death in the background of that?
I don't know.
It's strange.
All right. Are we going to see the Curie here?
What is it?
Or maybe we've got broken wings? What is it? Have we got?
No, I think it did exist. Here it is. This.
Thank you.
around with that one. Never Let Me Go. Here at this before that, we enjoyed an excerpt from the Bob We'll Be Back program. That's a real show, that one.
Yeah, Rich. Tell you what.
Hey, leaves here.
Stop. Looking for other gigs.
You can't stop me.
What is Richard Marsden pushing buttons on the show?
There's a fire warden meeting going on in a little enclosed office across the hall from us.
Right.
And you spotted Danny Boyle sitting in there.
Yeah, we've got a good look like the Danny Boyle working here.
Great. Now, this crow has hit us up on the MySpace URL and said that when we're casting the film about David Hicks, how about Gary Sinise for David Hicks?
Really?
That's not up to our standard. You reckon? I think he's got a touch of a Sinise about him.
Sorry, well, it's an easy day for the costume person. There's about one blue shirt. That's all that David Hicks has been wearing for the last 5 years.
We've got Arthur Handling coming in today.
Yeah, well,
no, but do you think he's going to be confused if we suggest he puts on a bomber jacket and becomes Bill Shorten for Shaft of Hope?
A damn good lookalike.
Father Dougal.
Yeah, I know.
As Bill Shorten. Think about it, people. It's April. Larry is calling up to say, clearly the theme song should be Capral Sun in Cuba.
Oh, that's good.
Dear idea. Well, I guess that's the sort of thing we would do, though. So,
now,
human knows up at that.
Someone else has hit us up. An actual person I knew before my... A friend of mine before MySpace started.
Oh, really? You had actual friends?
Yeah, I had a couple. My friend Alicia hit me up to say, how about mayo after Capral, where it's just a diet of mayonnaise for the entire month of May.
Oh, that'll be fun and cholesterol-filled.
I like that.
Let's do that.
Okay.
What is the time, Dave?
Hey?
No, we're going to sizzle that up. We're going to open the FHM TV's Hottest Women Sealed section live on air.
Get the horn section ready. They're going to be busy.
Ed's been working on the segment for days, preparing for it.
Tony Bullimore has been
left on
the ocean again.
Controversial British solo sailor Tony Bullimore is planning another attempt at breaking the world incompetence record. He's been hanging out at Hobart's Belrive Yacht Club, which I'm assuming is completely destroyed by now. And he's heading off on a new mission. Let's just...
What's his mission?
To make funny clips for the news. Remember him arriving back in port?
An abrupt end for Tony Bullimore's Indian Ocean crossing in Albany this morning.
The Indian Ocean crossing that ended in Albany, Tasmania.
I'm not sure that the Indian Ocean gets that far.
And then he's forgotten that often there'll be some ocean for a while,
And then land.
Yeah. Problem.
That happens with yachting.
Right.
Here's something I might just mention. AFL footballers, what have they done now? Well, they're being asked to lend a hand to lift the nation's sperm supplies as the AFL season starts.
Would it be contaminated with a high sunscreen count? That's
and obviously a fair amount of cocaine. The Monash IVF clinic are writing to 10 AFL clubs asking their players to become sperm donors. Geez, that'd be pretty easy to give examples by now.
What do you want now? Snap me up!
Can't they just scrape it off the floor of nightclubs?
Okay, moving on.
Sorry.
Another clinic.
Oh, that's not fair. You're right. Nicky's made a face that says that's not fair.
Yeah, well, it gets worse.
Take that back.
It's much worse. Another clinic is lifting a 20-year ban on gay men becoming sperm donors. Gay men have been allowed to donate sperm for friends in movies for years. Sorry. I'll just do a different line for that in case we need something more faithful.
Okay.
They have been able to donate sperm for friends for years. At the drive-thru window.
Give a pause for anything.
Okay, very nice. Listen to this. Monash IVF they've tried to recruit AFL footballers many years ago and sought the sperm of Victorian MP 2 years ago. Neither drive was overly successful. MP, is that a good thing for your image as an MP? Vote for me, I'm chockers.
I don't know.
Gee, what else is going on? Oh, look at this. This is the best for a sentence. One sperm bank coordinator said, while she...
Good job.
Great job. Said, while she supported the changes, the floodgates would be open. I don't want to read the words sperm bank and floodgates.
Okay, guys.
In one sentence.
All right, guys. Everyone ready? Got a bucket? Open a floodgate. Catch as much as you can.
I'm sure nobody is listening. That finishes our science talk for today. We'll be back on safer ground. Tony Bullimore style next. I'll get this.
Triple M.
Vegetables.
Oh, Bob.
George Thorogood at the Destroyers here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. And hello to everyone who's supporting CAPE. Listen to this, Dave Burton's right behind us. Bert, he's emailed us to say, on the weekend I was running the Melbourne Fun Run with a CAPE on.
Good on you.
For the kids over the Balti Bridge, and I saw a woman running with a baby in her arms and breastfeeding. Breastfeeding during a fun run.
No,
that's not appropriate,
that's
Mr. Not, Martin.
Come on, that's all me.
You know, that's functional work.
Yeah, that's
combining talking. Combining several disciplines at once.
Yeah.
Conserving time and energy. Well done, that woman. But it does lead us rather neatly to the question. Ed has been waiting all week to open the sealed section. What is it?
It's upside down.
You don't care, it's just women.
TV's hottest women, featuring a number of shows we don't watch.
Yeah.
So I guess without further ado, we just...
Yeah, there's not a lot of TV's hottest women on Deadwood. We'll say that.
Rather Ted, I thought maybe the tea lady would have made it. All right.
I'm not handling it in the next hour.
So we're going to... So is it, there's a chance
to crack it open. Is it international or is it local?
Well, we'll soon find out. Hang on a second.
Yeah, but where you put your hand.
I've torn it. I hope I haven't torn it over any gear. Hang on a second.
Okay, we...
Yeah. Oh, no. I've torn it horribly.
Yeah.
I won't be able to make out who's the person.
There we go.
Well, well, well. My name is Earl. Got a run.
Yeah.
Somebody from Las Vegas.
Yeah. Alicia Milano. She's always.
She's in there. How did you get?
A perennial.
But you know what? The more famous they get, the more clad they are in these magazines.
No.
Early on in the career, it's just, you know, a well-placed shadow, if that. But when you get to Alyssa Milano's status, she's basically just sort of off in the distance somewhere.
Well,
you know,
just covered in a blanket.
Give us the top five. Who have they gone for? Well, they've gone for someone from Heroes, a.k.a. Nikki in Heroes, which I don't watch.
Heroes having his ass kicked by the chaser in the road. Who would have thought that's good tonight, by the way?
Okay, here we go.
9 o'clock.
What do you think? Donna Feldman in Fashion House?
No idea who that is.
Good House.
Yeah, I remember Barbara Feldon, but no, not Donna Feldon.
From the 30s, did she? She's some cracking ankles, did she?
99 in Get Smart.
All right. Well, there we go. Okay, here we go. We've got Bridget Monaghan.
Oh, yeah.
In 60 Grand. You know why they've sealed this section? There's nothing in it.
Nothing in it.
Hand it over. Because
it's nothing. Jewel, the eye candy on that pizza.
That's number one?
Yeah.
Well done, the pizza team.
Yeah, well, they've done well.
Okay.
But it's not that. I'm a bit disappointed, to be honest.
You're not very happy with this at
all. I thought it would just be, you know.
Janie Presley, I'm down with. I understand that.
Yeah, not you down with her.
Down with her.
I've heard that. on the Bob Will Be Back show last night.
It's a fun. It's weird, though. Why is it sealed? Because there's nothing particularly salacious.
I'll tell you what, though. There's more salacious gear in the advert. This is the new... advert for your Armani jeans, and there's your sort of ubiquitous kind of, androgynous looking types, slightly wet, hugging each other in the wet jeans, always a good look.
Mm. Look at this guy.
This guy's been given the job to cuddle a thoroughbred.
Oh.
It's part of the kind of sexy, alluring nature of Armani jeans.
It's going on. It's hard to look good next to a horse when you're a model.
What are they implying? Armani jeans?
Ideal for bestiality. Obviously, that's the market niche they're chasing.
So off to the Easter show, get involved. This is horrible.
Check out the Who. All right, well, that was a bit of a letdown, mate.
Sorry. I'm sorry, guys. I'm normally a big fan of FHM's work, but it wasn't the horn fest that we were hoping for,
Rich. I mean, I don't recognise most of these people, but you don't seem to know them either.
No, I don't know any of them.
Bridget Monaghan. Someone from Battlestar Galactica. We've got a room full of nerds. Surely somebody knows who that is.
No, I don't reckon I do have the big makeup on. And the...
Those Cylons are a lot hotter than they were in my day. I'll give you that. What else is going on? What we love on this program, you know it, listeners. is a car driving through the front of someone's house where nobody gets hurt. It's the biggest craze in Australia.
Yeah.
I reckon Daniel has topped them all. Listen to this. Daniel works at a video shop.
Good on you, Daniel.
Heard a ruckus outside. Two of those traffic control cars. A brouhaha or possibly an imbroglio. A council van was stopping cars from turning into a street they were on, right? So it's a kind of city roadblock.
Yeah.
The van had parked on the side of the road. The guy got out to direct a truck that was following them. This truck was towing a house. Had a house on the back of a truck. Because the van was on the side of the road, the truck driver couldn't see it. The house flipped the van. So technically, a house had driven through someone's car.
I was going to talk about a deer that jumped through the window of a Chuck E. Cheese in America. But that's got nothing on these guys.
Sizzled up.
All right.
It's coming next.
We had nothing to do with these guys at all, and I didn't even see it coming. The first reaction was, what the heck is going on?
In Brisbane and Sydney and Melbourne, it's Get This around the nation on Triple M. There is a new Get This podcast already, number 71 going up today. Dave Graney's in there. Oh, fair chunk of Dave.
Excellent.
Isn't he a good guest to have on your radio
program?
Gold and don't forget that Salmon album, Rock Formation. There's quite a lot of interest in that. That is available. George McEncrow is in there talking about goat hurling. Our feeble attempt to do sports talk on the show is there. The ultimate solution for Big Brother, bad presence, Peter Costello. It's all in the new sizzling.
Wow, sneezing and sizzling.
We've got sneezing on the schedule for this break, Ed.
Apparently, someone's peppered up my microphone.
Spam it up, your microphone. That'll be Lee Simon.
A little bit much.
He loves to love. I've seen Lee Simon.
I saw him loitering.
Hey? Kind of our mentor here.
What's
he up to today?
Deepest man in radio.
He's the deepest man, followed by Richard Marsden and then myself. Hey, do you want to play Who's Full of It?
Yeah, I do.
Let's do that next, but we've got to have some music. And to get this one fired up, have you got some soup there, Ed?
I've got some boiling hot lentil soup.
Fantastic.
Hopefully going to cure me of my...
Yesterday, we were having a bit of a whinge about our lack of publicity. And the way it works in radio is your breakfast show.
Yep.
That's sort of the Rolls Royce out the front. Then you've got the drive show.
No, because if you get them in the morning, you'll keep them all day rich.
That's what kind of.
The flagship
blue sky talk, we don't understand.
And then your drive program. These are the two linchpins of your radio, and we know that.
And we're on a weird ass time of 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Bizarre. Even people here aren't quite sure when it's on.
My friends don't
know. So the listeners. The listeners are getting behind us. What
about
this? We've just had a call from Mark in Western Sydney. He says between the Blacktown and Windsor, Martin Park Bush Fire Brigade, you'll find their buildings. And get this, Triple M, they've written on it.
Oh, that's nice.
I've just done their own promotion. A fire brigade.
That's awesome.
Emergency services are getting behind us.
That's great.
You know, now you can be rescued from a fire brigade and go, what am I doing tomorrow at 11 o'clock?
Yeah, see, that's the thing, though. If your house is, or something's on fire.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't want to be linked to that.
And the truck rolls up with this written on the side of it.
Might implicate us.
But we're saving the day. If only those firefighters could wear some capes.
Yeah.
Okay. They've got to put in for once.
Taylor has called in. He says he'll wear a cape tomorrow if Tony will say, wait a moment, where's my pie?
That's
some sketch from the 1990s.
All right.
I don't know what it was, but apparently I said it.
Yeah, yes. Something on...
I reckon I think I might be full of it today.
Oh, yeah.
Are you full of it, Ed Cavalli?
I'm full of roasted veggies and...
Are you full of it, Richard Marsland?
I think I am.
Then let's get up Talkback Mountain. Thank you, Kraftwerk.
Massive hour.
Massive.
That was wonderful.
We loved it.
He stripped it right back, you know what I mean? He stripped it back to what the Talkback Mountain theme is really about.
Sure.
Goats and yodelers.
Germans.
Oh, speaking of Germans.
Yes,
are they full of it?
Good job, Tone.
What's happened?
Good job. That's who's full of it.
German villagers are tired of sex in the open. As you know, we are your number one connection for open-air sex here at SBS
3.
Detlef Mine, fake name, old somewhere or another, he said that there's a law that prevents people from, in their during their summer festival, in the Schwabel Nature Reserve, from having sex out in the open.
Yeah.
Here we go. It says that I'll start again. The federal law was too lax because it only made sex in the open an offence if it was offended, if it was intended to be seen.
Oh, okay. So accidentally glimpsed.
Completely perfectly fine. But here we go. This is the way around it for all of you Germans listening. There's a €35 fine. What you do is that you advertise. If you're Marsland, you say, listen, Marsland and whoever's going to be getting it on in the bushes, $3, €3 each a pop. You get enough people together, pay the €35 fine, that's your overhead, everything else that you can keep, profits.
Yeah, it's a great idea. So, full of it.
Yeah.
There we go. That's
so you're saying the country of Germany is full of it?
No.
It's a really bad attempt to crowbar something that shouldn't be in this segment. End of the segment.
Detlef Mine is full of it.
Okay. Are you listening, Detlef?
This is the kind of thing, bro.
This is what we're looking for. Senator John McCain, Republican Senator John McCain, flew to Baghdad to show how safe it is. He visited a market. The delegation led by Senator McCain arrived at the market on Sunday with more than 100 soldiers in armoured vehicles as attack helicopters circled overhead.
Yeah.
Soldiers redirected traffic, restricted access to the Americans, and sharpshooters were posted on every rooftop. Everyone wore bulletproof vests throughout their hour-long visit. Senator McCain and his three colleagues described the marketplace as bustling, full of hopeful, warm and welcoming locals. This is a quote. Like a normal outdoor market in Indiana in the summertime. And look at that picture. Look at that terrified man coming in bulletproof gear.
I'm going to Indiana.
What does that be like?
Listen, the guys, they've got to protect him. They've obviously gone, we don't want to waste any good security guards.
No.
So here we go. They've got someone who looks like David Byrne in 30 years.
Yeah.
In a crash helmet. Mm. And a number of sort of silver-haired gentlemen.
Mm.
And the most armoured man is the boom operator. Look at that.
Oh, my God.
He's got an extra from Apocalypse Now.
Well, if there's an explosion, he obviously wants to get the level right.
Yeah, absolutely right.
So that guy is full of it. I'm suggesting full of it.
Definitely full of it.
Who else is full of it? Richard Marsland.
Keith Richards.
He's always been full of it, though.
Yeah, Keith Richards, though.
The headline is, Keith Richards still alive despite all odds.
Right.
But then there's a new... It's just done an interview with NME, the new Musical Express in England. Rolling Stones guitarist Keith Richards once mixed his father's ashes into a line of cocaine.
Oh, my God.
And he snorted. I'm not sure if this is true. I think maybe he's just having some fun. I mean, that's pretty...
Yeah.
He's
full of his own dad. That's what you're saying.
That's good dad, too. He was cremated, and I couldn't resist grinding him up with a little bit of blood. He said, his latest issue. My dad wouldn't have cared. He didn't give a...
Is this a good dad? Where's the good dad?
Hang on, this is my stepdad. He's rubbish.
Well, my real dad. That's the good stuff.
We'll make a dead man snort or something like that.
I think he's full of it. That Hilary Duff.
The dude, she's called a new album Dignity.
What's the name of the album?
Dignity. Where's the dignity in having all your teeth replaced by a tiny row of surfboards? Where's the dignity in that, I ask you? She's full of it.
No. All right, no more of that sound. You mean don't feel so good?
Okay, I think we can cross off Senator John McCain, the nation of Germany.
No,
Keith Richards,
not
Hillary
Duff,
and everyone in this room.
Detlef Miner.
Detlef is who's full of it. And he's listening.
Who do you reckon is full of it, listeners? Give us a call, 133353.
We're back on air.
Good, that's always helpful. It's, this around the nation. That was my happiness.
Powder finger.
Not going to be part of our concert, that one.
Why not?
What concert? What are you talking about?
Concert.
We're having a concert.
Oh, right. Heavily adolescent fantasy.
So,
concert, which is. Isn't it just you getting up on stage and singing songs?
You've been marvelled.
That was amazing.
No, but this is the one where you just get
your knife rich.
Okay. Here's a great concert.
So,
El Dago. Is it going to be good as El Dago? Because they're top. That's just you. You've got your comedy. You've got your music and you've got your romance.
Bang.
Everyone calling Talkback Mountain today, if you're in Melbourne,
yeah,
will get a ticket to see El Dago.
And if you're not in Melbourne,
something from around the office. Something good. Nicky promises me something good.
One page out of the hottest TV bay.
Okay.
Signed by all of us.
Do I smooth over the trouble there?
Yeah. No trouble.
Who's full of it?
Hi, Glenn. How are you?
How you going, guys?
Excellent. So who's full of it?
My boss.
Okay. What's he done?
He earns like $500,000 a year.
Right.
And then goes on about how little money he's making. And apparently he pays us all so much money that we have to work harder and stuff, but we all know he's paying us bugger all and making absolute crap loads.
Yeah, there it is. And what kind of work is it?
Driving a truck, delivering garbage bins, it's great.
Oh, wow. No. And is he getting around flaunting his wealth? Is he, you know, lighting the cigars with $100 bills, that sort of thing?
Pretty much. He just sits at home, has a spa, doesn't come to work.
Sits at home in his solid gold dumpster spa. Laughing at you guys.
I would have thought the solution would just be all of the trucks, all of the garbage, straight to his place, leave it there and off you shoot.
Yeah, I think I'll organise that for the weekend.
Give you a guard room, bro. If you do it, it was all your idea. Thank you very much, Sweetie. Boss is full of it. Who else is full of it?
Hi, Johnny. How are you?
Not too bad. How you doing?
Really good, man. It's full of it.
I've got this guy by the name of Glenn, not the one you just talked to, but a guy that I work with.
Yeah.
This guy thinks he knows everything. I guarantee you, he says that he knows all the faults to, like, you know, the VZ Commodore.
Yeah.
One day he started ranting on about, this particular car, you know, it's got faults with the boot seal, the fuel pump, the dash, transmission, all that crap.
Yeah. I think the answer is just to lock him in the boot.
Yeah.
Have him demonstrate the faults.
No, dude, he coughs up more crap than a Werribee duck. I guarantee you, right?
I think we've got a Werribee duck on the show tomorrow. The place is a wild thing.
I love your show.
Hey, thanks, Johnny.
Good on you, buddy. I think that man was in Melbourne, so he's off to see Ildago.
Take that Glenn fellow with him. Hello, Jason. How are you?
Good, guys. Yourself?
Oh, really good. Who's full of it?
This one's very spontaneous. I saw it just as you guys were talking about the drink Midori.
Oh, yes. Now, is the drink itself full of it, or are you full of Midori?
No. There's no way I'd be drinking that green stuff, let me tell you. It looks like it comes out of your nose, but anyway.
Yeah.
The reason is because it says on this billboard, the drink that lights up Queensland. I don't know anyone in Queensland that drinks Midori.
Well, can I say, Jason, in Midori's defence, they are my major sponsor after all. when I used to go to the Gold Coast as a youngster, there's nothing better than a jug of illusions, Jason. You know what I mean?
That's true, but what worries me is the fact that there's another thing up here that I reckon is full of it too, because I don't know anyone who can actually turn around and say they can drink 4X and actually say it in a straight sort of way, because they're full of it as well.
But I guess once the water shortage, you know, once they get up to stage 10 restriction, it'll be just Midori and 4X for everybody.
Showers in 4X, you'll be washing your hair with Midori.
Bring on level 5 water restrictions, that's what I say.
Level 5! Taking a cup down the Brisbane River, have a delicious drink. Lovely.
We're in here.
Guys, it's better than the Yarra.
Wow. What have we got around the office for that man? Oh, a bottle of Missouri.
There we go.
We've got time for one more.
One more, just do it. We don't, but do it.
Hi, Ben, how are you?
Hey, how are you, guys?
Yeah, good, thanks. Who's full of it?
You are, eh?
I'm so glad we took this talk. What do you mean, Ben?
Oh, mate, it's a 2-hour show and you can't go without stuff in your face.
It's just like a bain marie in front of him, Ben.
Oh, believe it.
He's being, like, splattered with, you know, soup and cans of food during every segment.
Ben, you don't know what it's like, man, to be constantly hungry. How long can you go without eating?
I've fasted before. I've been on a fast and things like that. So, I can't say too much either. I love my food too.
Can you make it? Can you put on Blur Song 2 and have to have a 3-course meal by the time it ends?
Yeah. I'll get through a roast during Song 2.
I'll be sending you a fabulous prize. Thank you for calling. And
you know what you'll be sending you, Ben? All of my empty wrappers. Wouldn't that be delicious for you? Thank you for the call, sir.
There's still another hour of the show to go, and we'll be assisted in that hour by one of my favourites, dammit, and I've never met him.
This is a constant issue, and people are always aware of it. It's
We spent the morning watching the episode called Kicking Bishop Brennan Up the Arse on YouTube.
Yeah, it's one of my favourites.
We can't get enough of it.
We can't.
On some radio shows, they have an arse and they get you to go over and kick it just to sort of get some fun happening in the studio.
Yeah,
we couldn't afford the arse. You're wondering what you've got yourself into. It's a room full of nerds.
Yeah.
You're a Doctor Who, is that right?
I kicked Doctor Who up there. I was at the cameo on Doctor Who there this last year. I think the episode's got out in Britain in a couple of weeks' time. I haven't seen it yet. But it was fantastic fun. I mean, when you get the call to Doctor Who, you can't refuse the Doctor.
Are you villainous in it, or?
Well, I was hoping that I would be more villainous than I am. I mean, you're not quite sure at the beginning of the episode how villainous this character is potentially is. But I'm not, I'm a nice cat. I'm a Brannigan. I'm one of those cat people.
Okay.
I was a cat for like 3 or 4 days.
Then you will be on YouTube leaping into somebody's sink.
I know. I also realize no matter what momentous achievements I managed to have in my life, I will only be remembered in 50 years' time for being a cat for 3 minutes.
I know that. Some people never get that privilege.
I know I'd be able to turn up at little conferences all around the world, selling my photograph for like 50 cents.
Put me ears on.
I know. Hey, yeah. I have a future. I don't know about you guys.
We're going to talk about your career, your show that you're in Australia to do, and we're going to talk great TV villains. We're going to ask for your assistance on that one. Still coming up in the next hour. Get this. Yeah, the second hour of Get This on Triple M right around the country. Please, some more fake applause for Arnold O'Hanlon.
The original Comedy Center in 1995.
Oh, Pre-Father Ted.
Pre-Father Ted, yes. I'm a pioneer. I arrived to a residency in a club called The Last Laugh in Melbourne.
Yes.
6 weeks. 6 weeks I spent there, and it was really a fantastic time. My first ever like overseas adventure as a stand-up show, which was great. I thought this was going to be like all the time.
Was stuff thrown at you often at The Last Laugh an object? Now hurling out of the spotlight.
The odd legged chicken and things.
That's approval.
Yeah.
The Last Laugh. Oh, really? Oh, shouting legs of chicken. I love you. I always think you're doing, you're involved in a good stage production where you can hear cutlery.
Yeah.
Performance.
I know. I mean, I can't actually go on now unless my sidekick or somebody is rattling cutlery.
And Ed was just bringing you up to speed with some of our great Australian traditions, like Movember.
Yeah.
Back to the 18th century.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think it was pretty unanimous back in those days, and now people are bringing it back for Movember. Well, we've not like that, but we had a thing, or we used to do this, myself and my friends, just whenever we met people from overseas, we would tell them like about a great thing we could do is like you could stick a bit of tomato in your ear. That was an Irish tradition. It was like people chewing tobacco or something like that. You get the same sort of buzz out of it, So we got these like we put tomatoes in their ears and walked around and
they were feeling it. They were feeling the vibe.
They were feeling very angry with us within a few minutes doing that.
We had David O'Doherty here yesterday, and he claims he's never seen a glass of green beer in Ireland.
No.
He's never heard anyone use the phrase, to be sure. I mean, it's shattering all around.
Yeah, I know. I ended up doing a radio show in Adelaide, and the whole discussion for like a long time was about shillelagh. People ringing in about shillelagh, and we've never heard of shillelagh in America.
What is a shillelagh?
It's a big stick. I can't believe I'm about to have the discussion with you guys now again. It's so fine afterwards. But it's a big stick that men used to carry around years ago. But, it's a tourist thing.
What for?
The people sell to American tourists.
There you go.
But
are the people on kind of heritage tours? Because I've heard a lot of Americans and stuff go over to try to find out about their Irish heritage and all that kind of thing.
That happens.
Sell them a stick, and away they go.
A stick, exactly. A big, nerdy old black tron robbed them.
They found their roof. Great. I'm sure there would have been a shillelagh at least blinked in the background of a Father Ted episode.
No. If anything, what Father Ted, I think, tried to do, and it probably didn't succeed very well, was to completely undermine all the stereotypes about Ireland. He had an incredibly drunken letter of speech, so over the top, that, it was like
pulling the rug from that particular stereotype about the Irish, that they're all drunk and lefty. And then, you know, you had the incredibly stupid priest, my character, and, you know, again, like, you know, that was like in Britain, the Irish were generally regarded quite thick.
The jokes came out here as well.
Yeah. So that was sort of a kink on the overthrow that particular.
I mean, it's an absolutely brilliant show, and it's a classic show, but out here, I'm not sure if you're aware, it's not as well known as it should be. And I think the first series was shown at a bizarre time on Channel 11:30. The second series wasn't shown at all, and then the first series was shown close to midnight.
New time of midnight.
So it's one of those shows people have discovered for themselves on DVD or now Foxtel are showing it.
Yeah.
And every 6 months, someone will call me up and go, "Oh, I was just laughing at the show I've never seen before," and you know that it's going to be fun.
Well, that's the best way, you know. I object to like shows that are hyped
Kind of
expect, you know, you tune in, you go, what's the big fuss? I mean, it is much better to discover things on your own, isn't it?
And it's all, the thing is, in this country, you hear a show called Father Ted, you think, oh, it's going to be the Vicar of Dibley. Mm. It's going to be, you know, cups of tea and sandwiches and things. So I didn't watch Father Ted for ages because that's what I thought. And then I just saw 5 minutes of it and there was a scene about Radiohead.
Yeah. It's
quite smart. I mean, in Ireland, it was the same thing. People just called me the priest. It was made on British TV. And, you know, for the first series, no one in Ireland watched it at all. And then, like, by the time the second series came around, or the first series was repeated, the whole of Ireland was totally behind it, and behind it as their own show, and, you know, everything stopped when Father Ted, you know, was on in universities and pubs and everything.
Right.
Yeah, kind of weird.
And you look at the cliche question, but, you know, favorite episode for me, I think, is the Eurovision Song Contest episode. Which one would you put on for your kids?
Come on.
I would pick little clips out of lots of them and I'd stick them all together. But if I was to pick one, it's probably the Speed 3.
What is the story that you can't take your foot off the accelerator?
I can't go above 4 miles an hour. or a bomb that has been planted by a disgruntled milkman underneath the milk slope will explode. So I've got to keep it on the 4 miles. I've never driven a milk slope before, so I've got to keep driving around and around and around.
And
once the Father Ted comes to the rest.
It's all in slow motion, but it is as suspenseful as the first
series. My favorite scene is like, there's a bit for the, you know, I'm about to approach, you can go to
boxes.
You know, weapon. And there's this fantastic slow motion scene where Father Ted has to remove each box. Before I hit it. That's very funny.
If you've never seen it, go and buy the DVD. And it's a great present. Just dump on somebody and you haven't ever heard of it. All right, that's the end of the Father Ted talk.
Yeah, way.
Now we can get into the present. Let's get on with it. Thank you, Wolfmother. He said this around the nation on Triple M. Arthur O'Hanlon, actor, comedian, novelist, person whose name is clearly hard to pronounce, on the program with us today. Arthur, I've got to ask you about, we'll get to Doctor Who. A lot of our listeners are already calling us.
I know.
Football, are you football mad? Is he cavally
talking off air about some Champions League this morning? And,
I know. I mean, it would be my sport of choice, but I mean, I have other interests. I'm a very well-rounded man. My son has gone crazy about rugby union, but I think doing pretty well at the end. So that's our sport now, it's sort of at home. I have to confess, I'm very interested in the footy as well.
How old is your son?
He's 5.
And we were talking about this as well. Is it at the point where he's seeing you on a TV screen and possibly confused?
That's all very new to them, all right. But it's funny, like, you know, because they know a lot of other people who are on telly as well, so I think that helps. A lot of my friends, people like Dylan Moore, who's a comedian, and my kids will be friendly with his kids. So, you know, to see him on the telly sometimes, and although not, I watch Black Books. It's, you know, and other people like that. And Ireland is kind of a small country, and everyone's on television doing something.
Everyone's got a shot.
So, there's a woman at the school who's a news reader, and, you know, it's not a big deal for them. But I'm trying to protect them from the horror of television for a long time. But eventually, you know, the friends were coming up from the school playground going, you know, oh, your daddy's going to tell you, we really, you know, because Father Ted's really taking off with kids now. At the moment. So that's a whole new experience in the school playground, you know, being mobbed by 6 year olds. But,
the kids would love kicking Bishop Brennan up the arse.
Yeah. No, but they love all that rubbish, you know, so they love it. And so my kids were really confused for why, you know, why are people going up to my daddy in the playground, you know? And so
Do you have daddy? Now, Paul Hester, I don't know if you know who that is, the drummer from Crowded House, who passed away recently. He used to come in on a radio show I worked on with Mick Malloy, and he had a young daughter, and she thought that whenever she heard him coming out of the radio, she would run around the house trying to find him and me and Mick hiding under a bed, trying to convince it was just being piped in from next door.
Right. I don't know if this is absolutely true, and I don't know what, you just reminded me of it there, when you mentioned it, the rock record.
Yes.
That Morris Gibb, when he died, is he the one who died?
One of them, Mr. Mars.
I'm sure it's Morris Gibb.
Oh, one of your Achilles heels.
He was buried with a DVD, the father said. That was a, I don't know how true it is, but that was a very prominent rumor.
Morris Gibb was buried with a DVD.
Yeah.
Imagine
it.
And it's, oh, it's reached zero up here.
And would God approve?
Look, you brought us back to Father Ted.
I'm sorry.
What I love, my favourite bit in Father Ted of all, are when when Father Dougal talks about religion in any context at all, we're not persisting with that religion nonsense, are we?
No, it's like he's blissfully ignorant of the whole reason for being in the priesthood. That goes without saying. It's like he's just like a child or something, isn't he?
The biggest laughs in the show are when Father Ted tries to explain something from the Bible to you and just the cut to your face.
Yeah.
That's as big a laugh as you can have on the telly.
Yeah.
We've got back onto that.
Sorry.
Stand up. Now, you're doing stand up. You've been doing stand up for a hell of a long time. You've been out here before, but one service we'd like to provide for visiting stand ups is anything you need explained. Any sort of cultural references?
Local references? I had a few issues there. Now, luckily, I've had a week in Adelaide, so I've had a little bit of time. So I was doing jokes about, I can't believe I'm telling you this, but I was doing a joke about, if you're followed home and, you're breathing a sigh of relief and you're leaning against the door and someone puts their hand through the letterbox and grabs a jumper and then I realise, of course, you don't have bloody letterboxes in Melbourne or anywhere. So, that caught me out.
You mean right through the front door?
Yeah. And the rest of the world with letterboxes.
Which might have been a thing.
You know what I mean? Here, yeah. A little bit carrier pigeon or something. But, so I was doing,
letterbox
doesn't work here. I mean, I do very serious stuff as well.
Just realise how lazy our postmen are. I mean, in England, it's like a right front door.
Right out of the front door. Brave the dogs and the pets and
whoever else. And now they've got motorbikes here. Even a bike was doing real estate.
And they're always going through the hard rubbish here, Arnold. Like when it's council clean-up day and people are putting old fridges out on the front. A lot of our listeners ring in and say that the postie's been round. No letters, but he's taking a fridge home. So he's very happy. Very happy with himself.
we'll be trouble if we don't meet Doctor Who. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
The Doctor Who fans are quite a lobby group.
I know that. Very vocal and very belligerent.
We're going to talk to the next. I'll get this.
And if you see it for anything more than a stunt, then I think you're fooling yourself.
Triple M is the station. Get this is the program, and Arnold O'Hanlon is sitting in for the whole hour. He's just giving some YouTube address any good stuff there.
Well, one of the funniest ones ever is I sit there with my son, looking at really stupid things that happen on football matches.
Beautiful.
One brilliant one where the guy injured on the soccer pitch, and the two guys in the stretchers come on, and they actually consult with each other, first of all, that's a quick way they're going to go. And then to pick up the guy, put him on the stretcher, one guy goes that way, and the other guy goes that way. The guy falls off the stretcher, and one guy falls back on top of him.
And is he a fat guy? In the
of course he's a fat guy.
The tradition of all ambulance traffic.
Just brilliant.
There's always cheerleading accident.
Yeah.
Always a cavalcade. And then your gymnastics fall. Oh, yeah, gymnastics accident, not so good. Gymnastics fall.
And the human cannonball disaster is like, that's the whole thing.
That's the beauty. It's hard to keep them in shot, though, because they're moving quickly through the air. It's like golf. It's hard to keep an eye on the ball. But some of them, they really catch the trajectory of the people missing the mat, landing in the car park.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Okay. Now, tell us about your role on Doctor Who, because people are calling out. What did you do?
I play a kind of creature. People who are familiar with Doctor Who will have seen an episode last year where there's a kind of a nuns, who are cat nuns, who kind of, like nuns, they operate a hospital.
Okay.
And it was a really brilliant episode, near New York, is where this all happened. Newer. And so this year, there's an eternal traffic jam.
Right.
New York. They're really profound episodes. The brilliant thing about the current generation of Doctor Who is it's very moving, it's very funny, but it's also really profound in places.
You know? Well, so, you know, science, the real world is catching up to science.
Yeah.
So gridlock.
Gridlock, eternal traffic jam with just millions of vehicles. So I'm trapped in a vehicle for all too short time in Doctor Who. And Doctor Who ends up in my car for a little while in my vehicle for a little while. So, and he's trying to find, you know, somebody. But, I mean, basically, I was trapped in this typing car. I'm not complaining, by the way.
He's got a roomy TARDIS.
He has an army TARDIS. He's trapped in the car with me, with my litter of kittens, and my human wife, and humanoid type wife.
Dang.
And it took days to get into the costume, and weeks, like to mold your head, like they go to such efforts now. It's not like the Doctor Who.
No, yeah.
It's like they apply each like individual cat hair to your face.
Oh, wow.
Two different types of glue.
Like a cat hair transplant.
Absolutely, yeah. I don't know how many cats are in for this one row. But there's a lot of bald cats around over at the moment. And
in the old days, it would have just been a sheepskin carcass.
Well, the actual cats, they apply it, you know, because it's like a special mold just for your head and you know, your special cat face. And they apply it so tightly, and you're trapped in it for like 18 hours a day, that as soon as I kind of put it on and they apply it really tightly, my contact lens actually popped out of the way.
And
it flew across the room.
Is that in the episode?
That wasn't filmed.
They had a boing sound effect in it.
So I couldn't see. I couldn't breathe because I had a captain wing. And it was very uncomfortable to do, but it's a great episode. I mean, it's really
well. Were they real kittens? In the car?
Real kittens in the car.
Okay. Look, this doesn't sound very villainous, though. It doesn't sound like you're sort of vaporizing anything.
Throwing some kittens at people?
Yeah.
I wasn't a villain.
Well, I have a great list here of the 10 greatest TV villains of all time. This is out of Entertainment Weekly. Don't look yet. See if you can guess who they are. We'll be back in a moment. I'll get there. You're listening to Triple M. Ardlo Hanlon is with us. He's already performed in Sydney and Adelaide, and now he's going to be taking on the entire Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Several weeks in Melbourne, aren't
you? Yes, looking forward to it, yeah.
And when do you open? What's opening up?
Well, there's a gala tonight.
Yes.
Where I get to do a whole 4 minutes.
It's a very long night,
too. I might just do my whole set really fast. Tiny chunk out of that, I'm not sure which. And tomorrow night it opens properly in the Town Hall in Melbourne, and then it's kind of like pretty much 6 nights a week then.
Wow, got to go and see that. But we've been talking about TV villains.
Yeah.
Guys, you want to guess who would be in this list of 10 greatest TV villains from Entertainment Weekly in the US?
The Joker from the original Batman series?
No Batman villains at all.
No.
Boss Hogg. Boss Hogg, you'd think would be in the movie? No.
I don't think
there's no British ones here, or UK ones. It's all American by the looks of it.
What about Victor Kiriakis?
Thanks for a lot.
Was he a bad guy? I knew that. Yeah, he was.
Victor Newman from
Seinfeld for a while.
Oh, you're very close to one there at number 9, Newman from Seinfeld.
What about JR?
JR number 1.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, surprise that fleet right on Hanlon.
Is there Australian ones in this?
No.
Did you get it right?
No. Mrs. Mangle? No, Mrs. Mangle. Listen, at number 1, you've got JR. Number 2, Mr. Burns from The Simpsons.
Is he kind of a villain?
Yeah, he's villainous.
He's got a touch.
Angel from Buffy at number 3.
Come on. Who's going to remember Angel from Buffy in 5 years' time? Apart from the people with the figurines in their house. Sorry if I offended you.
The hundreds of people calling right now.
Well, what about the Daleks? I mean,
the Daleks don't get a look. You see, I guess this is an American magazine, so they've gone for it. Number 4, Leland Palmer, who killed Laura Palmer on Twin Peaks. Amanda from Melrose Place. The One-Armed Man from The Fugitive. Mel Prophet. That's an obscure one.
Mel Prophet.
He was
the greatest American hero.
Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
From White Guy.
White Guy.
That was a great character. Dr. Loveless in the wheelchair from the Wild Wild West. Newman from Seinfeld. And then at number 10, they put whoever cancelled Arrested Development. So
hey, that's
why I like this list.
Yeah, right. Touché.
Who have they left out? Yeah, you mentioned Batman villains.
Yeah.
The Riddler? The Riddler. I like to champion some of the lesser known ones. The bookworm, Roddy McDowell, who's wearing a book. Just a book, just a leather book.
How threatening.
He's a speed reader.
How on earth are you going to create havoc by speed reading?
You had more book-related crime.
The Power of Sudoku.
And you mentioned the Dalek title, obviously, the Doctor Who pantheon, Cybermen, the Yeti.
He watched an episode there recently where the Cybermen's go on the Dalek, and he got totally confused. He was totally baffled by this. Like, who are the good guys? And who are the bad guys?
Who did win?
Yeah, I forget. I don't know. I didn't see it.
It'd be like that.
I think they actually obliterated each other.
Yeah, like Freddy versus Jason. You know,
and like in Rocky 2, is it when they knock each other out simultaneously? Or is that Rocky 1?
Be careful, because this is in movie villains.
Sorry.
That's a whole other episode.
Sorry. You could have a whole sub episode which is just about Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken villain. What about his mad villain in the James Bond film? The white hair.
Joe Dirt. He's a lovely villain in Joe Dirt.
True Romance. He's a great villain.
That's a good movie.
King of New York. Is that James Bond villain?
Yeah. Really comfortable. I think magnificent.
Yes. And
the funeral, the addicted.
The addiction. Wow, you're a big guy. Who's the director of the band?
I've only everything Christopher Walken film.
You're a Abel Ferrara fan.
Yeah.
Named three Abel Ferrara films.
All right.
All right, TV villain Mr. Marsden, who did they leave out?
Okay, well, I mentioned Boss Hogg, but what about his deputy?
Oh, right.
Roscoe
P. Coltrane.
Roscoe P. Coltrane.
And then his deputy, Enos.
Enos, yeah.
Enos.
Yeah, purely in
the most pathetic spin-off in the history of television.
Yeah.
Enos,
the most pathetic spin-off in the history of television.
Used to have it. Hazard County. They used this, like, sort of backlot town that was Hazard County.
Yeah.
Then Enos, the deputy sheriff, left to get his own series in the big city, and it was shot on the same set of the small town in this exact same location.
They put all the hicks in suits.
Less yokels, more businessmen. The same street, the exact same fire hydrant got knocked over every week.
That's pathetic.
Okay.
Yeah, I loved him in the Dog Flash. Hilarious. And I always loved his voice. I always thought that maybe, you know, he should have kept going. Because it was a great, like, you know, in cartoon work. That kind of thing.
You're talking about Roscoe Peacock.
Roscoe Peacock.
Right? James Beck was his name. I think you'll find.
Great.
All right.
What about your Paul Robinson from Neighbours?
Oh, Neighbours. They should have known Neighbours.
I don't know it as well as I'd like to.
What are you here for?
The DVD collection.
You've got a lot of room.
Yeah. But he's awesome. He's been around for it since forever.
Well, I don't know. Did you ever get Brooklyn? Liverpool. The soap from Liverpool. There was a fantastic Trevor Jordan. I don't know if anyone remembers.
Yeah. We get EastEnders and we get Coronation Street.
So what was Jordan's going?
What was he into?
Oh, he was just so sinister. He was played by an Irish actor called Brian Murray. And his thing was white battering. Amongst other penis stuff. And he eventually, mother and daughter, played by Anna Friel.
Oh, yes.
Ended up killing him and burying him under the patio.
I know.
It was gone for about 2 years. It's like incredible. And I mean, it was like jaw-dropping. I think we're talking about
that. Buried under a patio. Yeah. TV villains. Mm. Which ones do you like? Let's just give us a call. Ardalo Handel and T. You can have a word to him. 1-3-3-5-3. There is simply no reason not to go and see his fine new stand-up comedy show. It's on at the Melbourne Town Hall, but we're talking TV villains. Who is the best one ever? Who's going first, Ed? Hey, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Yeah, really good. Who are you nominating?
Russell Crowe for his stint on Neighbours.
Yes, Kenny Larkin, and I did adopt that name myself in the film Boytown for no good reason. It's as near as I'll get to being Russell Crowe.
And he was pushing people around at Lasseter's, wasn't he? Wasn't he pushing Guy Pearce or someone around, Craig McLaughlin around? Or
no, he had a bit of a brawl with Craig McLaughlin, and he felt the wrath of the
rust. Yeah. Neighbours obviously big over there, but is it possible for you to imagine Russell Crowe the Gladiator throwing his weight around in Neighbours in a denim jacket?
Wow, I'd love to see that. I know, I can't believe it.
surely on YouTube.
Oh, it's on the tube. Oh, yeah.
It is up there.
Thank you, Ryan. Hi, Ben. How are you?
Oh, good, thanks, Ed. How are you?
Good, thank you, sir. Who are you nominating?
I know Tone will like this one. He's a big fan of the Adam West Batman.
Yeah, definitely.
The King Tut. Hit on the head by a flower pot and sellotape a Brillo pad to his chin and become King Tut.
That's right, he was a normal, lovable college professor.
Always a flower pot artist.
No matter where he went, a flower pot off a ledge, bang, villain.
The cat would brush it off the ledge or something and crack.
That's some bad luck.
I think he'd learn.
That is some bad luck right there.
Okay, no more villainous.
Hi, Sam, how are you?
Yeah, not bad. First, just say, our huge fan, whole family loves Father Ted. I remember the very first ad the ABC showed for it. It was for Think Fast, Father Ted. And they just showed that scene with the greyhound, with the rabbits at the greyhound track. And I thought, I have to see this. If nothing else, the rabbits at the greyhound track, I have to see this.
And so which villain are you nominating?
I'd have to say Bishop Brennan.
Fairway actor Jim Norton, he was a terrifying man to be around. Especially when he dressed up.
And when he realised he'd been kicked up the arse by Father Ted, he just turned into this sort of bat that was screaming down on you guys.
Other Father Ted villains that I would choose is Pat Mustard, the milk man. He was quite intimidating as well.
And Father Big Bird.
He was nemesis, yeah.
Not to be trusted, man.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Sam. Hi, John. How are you, man?
Hi, guys.
Hey, mate, who are you nominating?
Siegfried and Starker from Get
I have no recall for TV trivia.
Well, luckily we're here to help.
So, John, was this, have you taken advantage of the offer I've seen on television at the moment, which is like 3 million episodes of Get Smart on DVD for 54 cents? Have you got
that? No, because you can't buy just one. You have to buy more and more.
That's what I mean. You just keep sending them to you go there and ask them to stop. So what would Siegfried and Starkers go? What were they into?
Well, they were sort of basically trying to rule the world and have chaos over control, weren't they?
Yeah, that was it.
And then years later, Siegfried popped up as the lovable doctor on the Love Boat, and I never trusted him.
Slipping Mickey, do you think?
I reckon he was.
Dear.
Have we got time for one more villain?
Demon, how are you?
Hey, how you going, guys?
Oh, sorry, man, how are you?
I'm good. Stefan, actually.
Sorry, Stefan.
That's right, I think everyone's forgotten in the 80s, the old favourite Maggie Kirkpatrick, the Freak.
Oh,
yeah.
And what was the Freak's go, Stefan?
Oh, I think anything was her go, what she said went.
Oh, is that right?
And then
she ran the whole prison.
If you disagreed, you'd have your face put in the ironing press, I'm assuming.
At the very least, I reckon.
You'd be lucky to get away with a face pressing.
Hey, just quickly, Tony, I watched me D-10 the other day, the Champagne Edition DVD.
Yes.
I had to have it cracked up when you come out and you've done the Arnold Schwarzenegger impersonation.
Well, yeah, there was actually me under all of that.
You were fantastic.
Yes, all of the clothes were provided by the big men's store.
Thank you very much for plugging some of our old gear. Put on you.
How much padding did that take, Tony?
Yeah, Arnold sitting here going, Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Is that possible?
It was mostly latex. It was very similar to your Doctor Who experience.
Yeah.
It was 3.5 hours of having bits. Did you have to do that thing of having your head encased in plaster?
There was all of that. Absolutely. You stick your head in a bucket full of some kind of gunk and you leave it there for a long time.
And you're breathing for a straw.
Yeah.
And for a whole hour. And it basically is like what it would be like to drown.
But, I had that experience before because I did a show called My Hero as well.
Yes.
And you look at me now, I'm the least likely person of all time to play a superhero.
You were Thermo Man.
I was Thermo Man, so I was really booked up for that. There was a pilot made of that featuring a very, very buff Australian man.
Who's that?
There's a trivia question. I might leave it with you.
Yeah. All right, let's play a song. Let's work out the art of
Paul Hogan.
Yeah. The art of sizzle.
Demonstrated.
Craig McLaughlin.
Yeah.
You got it already. There you go. All right, we've got time for one more song.
I'll play this on YouTube.
I'm sure it is. We'll wind things up in a moment. We'll get there. Thank you for sitting in.
What about Johnny? He got that one crap on the word.